Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We're talking about a very, very serious subject that I'm concerned over because so many people do not understand it, do not know what is taking place. When, in fact, if I can say this, it's not meant to be negative for Jerry Holland that's over our elections process, but ballots will not go out until the 18th, and the election starts, as far as our early voting, on the 20th. How can you mail a ballot out on the 18th and expect people to get it and vet the candidates? I'm concerned about that. I do a vetting of all of the candidates, try to make a decision. I then fill out my preliminary ballot and put it in our church's bulletin saying this is the pastor's picks. This is how the pastor is voting. You vote how you think God wants you to vote, but this is how I'm voting. And I believe we need to have those preliminary ballots out prior to January the 20th, 21st, 22nd, when we start early voting on the 20th. That's just my opinion. I don't know if you've gotten your preliminary ballot or not, but we have not, and I believe it is something that we're defective on in our city. But nevertheless, we're talking about today this Fourth Amendment, the murder by way of abortion, forgetting, I think, most of our folks forgetting the Bible says, "Thou shalt not kill." We recognize the fact that the Planned Parenthood abortion industry. In fact, I've said many, many times it's a matter of selling baby parts that they're concerned about, interested in, the reason they're pushing something like this, so that it will produce more revenue for them. But we're with Jim Redloff today. Jim is an attorney, practiced an attorney 39 years here in Jacksonville. He is pro-life and takes a very, very hard stand, a firm stand, I should say, on that issue. We're talking about Amendment 4, the Murder by Way of Abortion Amendment. And Jim, just before the news break, we were talking about the amendment itself, the wording of the amendment, and we just gotten through talking about the term viability, what that means and what it does not mean.
Right.
What are some of the other parts of that very briefly worded amendment that concerns you because of the vagueness of it?
Well, we talked about that even past viability, which is usually about 6 months of pregnancy. There are exceptions for abortions past that, according to this amendment, when necessary to protect the patient's health. The term health is used, not life. And so it's very vague. And in other states, we've seen this term abused. And you've had doctors says, well, the person's anxious, they're depressed. They have back pain, they have whatever the case may be. And so it is a giant loophole to, as bad as abortion is up to the moment of viability, this makes it even worse. It makes it up to the moment of birth that they could, a healthcare provider, and again, could just say, in order to protect the patient's health, they need this abortion. Healthcare providers not defined either in this amendment. And so what does that mean? Does that mean, a chiropractor?
Mm-hmm. I mean, podiatrist?
Could be a podiatrist. Yeah. It's not an OBGYN that is saying this, okay? Or somebody that specifically deals with delivering babies. It could be the abortionist, right? I mean, they're MDs, they're medical doctors, although they violate the Hippocratic Oath, right? First, do no harm.
That's right.
And so, but it simply just means that someone 8-9 months pregnant goes to see the abortionist. They come up with some bogus excuse concerning the patient's quote-unquote health. They're doing the abortion. And there's going to be nothing that the legislature can do about this because it is part of the state constitution.
That's the danger
that's,
of it.
That's a huge danger. What a lot of people that I've spoken to who don't understand, you know, the law and state constitution law and things like that, I've had so many people say to me, well, can't the legislature do something about that? No, they cannot. That's the danger of this amendment. So we will have abortion on demand up to the moment of birth if this amendment passes. It even goes on, though, and gets worse because as we talked about earlier, it deals with parental notification for minors. Notice it doesn't use the term consent, right?
Right.
Huge legal difference between notification and consent.
Briefly explain that. I believe a lot of listeners may not understand that. Notification, they say, okay, well, the parent gets notified. That's not what this means.
Right now, in order for any minor to undergo any surgical procedure in the state of Florida, there has to be written consent by either a parent or the guardian, okay? Not notification, consent. And so that means the parent has to sign off on documents agreeing to the procedure. So if this amendment passes, the way it is written, it requires parental notification. And again, notification is not defined. What does that mean? You know, does it mean they get a text message, an email? Maybe they leave a message on their cell phone? So notification's not defined. They say, well, I tried to call them, you know. What proof do you even have that they actually did try
That's
to
right.
call them?
That's right.
All right, because, you know, the
In
left
fact,
and the
notification could be before or after the procedure.
Yeah. Now that you bring that up, that's even possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so it talks about the notification. So if this amendment passes, abortions on minors will be the only surgical procedure allowed in the state of Florida without parental consent. And that's what this two sentence amendment means. It is absolutely devastating. I mean, baby, it will be a bloodbath in the state of Florida for the unborn.
Yes,
we will see the murder of the unborn child like we have never seen before in the state of Florida. In fact, I just saw an ad this morning. I was watching the news, and it was a pro amendment for, and they had some doctor on there saying, oh no, you know, women are going to die. You know, the way the law is currently written. Well, the way the law is currently written allows for abortions. If there's, for an example, an atopic pregnancy. Okay.
Yes.
And that's where the fertilization of the egg is in the fallopian tube, not in the uterus. Which does, endanger the women's life. And so that has to be taken care of, okay? But that's about the only situation where you actually have a life and death situation. And the current statute in the Florida allows for that, okay? So you have these doctors coming on TV right now, and they're just flat out lying.
Lying.
They're lying about it.
In fact, they're lying about not only that aspect of it, but they're saying that this would prevent women from having an abortion if there's rape or incest, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Which is a lie also.
A total deception, 100% deception.
Right.
And going back to the viability aspect of it, Jim, you know, the Kamala Harris mantra is that it's women's health. And then Tim Walz says that in the rebuttal against J.D. Vance and his statement about the abortion aspect of it, and also when Donald Trump was debating with Kamala Harris, if you call that a debate, it's 3-1 in that so-called debate. But I have gone back in the health department for the state of Minnesota says that, contrary to what Tim Walz says, that there's no euthanasia of a failed abortion, 9 cases in Minnesota where an abortion failed and they let the infant die with no medical care.
How did it get so barbaric? That's just mind-blowing to me.
Mind-blowing, absolutely.
An innocent child born, breathing, alive.
Right.
And they're just going to let it die.
Let it die. And as the former governor of the state of Virginia says, keep the baby comfortable until it dies. Put it on the table, keep it comfortable until it dies. And the interim thought that the former governor of the state of Virginia says, and then let the doctor and the woman, the mother, decide if they want to keep the child. That's barbaric, as you said.
Absolutely barbaric. You know, the way I look at it, it's up to the church. If this amendment passes, it'll be really an indictment on the body, the church body in the state of Florida.
Absolutely.
And if the church, however, will get out, if it'll be preached from the pulpits, the flock needs to be informed.
Yes.
That's up to the pastors and the priests.
Yes.
And there's some great ones out there like you, and there's many others. But then there's others that, you know, they need a divine revelation of the fear of the Lord, I guess, in order to get out. And, it seems to be the problem too, right? It's so much the fear of man versus the fear of God.
That's right.
Is what I've noticed, but there, what I've seen is there's just a lack of people being informed about the amendment. Oh, really? What's that? I haven't heard anything about it. What's going on? And these are church members, so that's up to us to get the word out. You don't know how much I appreciate you talking about this on the radio station. You know,
well, I am thankful that we can. Let me ask you a pertinent question that comes to my mind. From your perspective as a Christian, as an attorney, as a conservative, how do we get pastors to speak up? How do we get Christians? For example, I've recommended to Christians to get on your cell telephone. Everybody's got 10, 15, 20, 100, 200, 300 contacts. Send them an alert to vote no on Amendment 4. All right, these are the amendments that we should vote on, like that. How do we motivate people to do that? What is your recommendation or your opinion as to what motivates them? How should we? We've got 30 days. We've got a month.
30 days. I just I recorded a short video and put it out on Facebook.
Good. Tell us about it.
And so my Facebook account is Jim Radloff, R-A-D, like David, L-O-F-F, like Frank. If you want to send me a friend request, and then you can share the video yourself. And so I've sent it out to all my contacts and asked them to please share that. I'm going to be doing another video here also. With an OBGYN, hopefully shortly, with a doctor, and we're going to discuss and counter what these false ads have been on TV with these doctors.
That's good.
But it's going to have to be us getting the word out
immediately.
The pastors have to do it, but also I heard a pastor say this one time: sheep beget sheep. In other words,
that's right. That's a good term.
In other words, it's up to us, the members of the church, talk to other members of the church, to talk to our friends, our family members, to get them informed and say,
amen,
do not vote for this amendment.
Yes.
Do not.
And tell others not to. We have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, this is Derby. So many women say, it's my body, my choice. Well, I'd like to say to them, it is not their body, it is the baby's body, which might be inside of them, but the baby is a different body, a different entity. So they are wrong to say that.
Debbie, you're exactly right, and I'm thankful for your insight and your spot on with your statement. And it's my prayer that others will see that. You see, even in this national election for the office of president, Kamala Harris says her values have not changed. You go back and look at her values, she's always had this position that it is not a problem with them to just murder a child in the mother's womb. And I could go into great detail as to her, quote, values and her mantra that they've not changed, and yet that is the major element of the campaign for Kamala Harris running as president of the United States of America. I find it absolutely appalling that in America, in our nation today, still called a Christian nation, that would be the top priority for a candidate running for president. And Derby, I don't mind telling you, and our audience has heard it perhaps before, I believe it's an impossibility, hear me, an impossibility for a Christian to vote on the Democratic planks or the Democratic mantra as to where they stand. A Christian cannot say, I love Jesus, I'm saved, and I'm going to vote for a party that will murder a baby in the womb, or I'm going to vote for a party that will butcher healthy body parts because of the transitional surgeries that they're talking about. That should be a big stop sign before any person that's listening today. As a Christian in particular, it's an impossibility. Derby, I'm thankful for your call. I recommend it if I've recommended to others, and I'll recommend again today. Get on your telephone. Everybody in your contact list, send them a note. Vote no on Amendment 3. Vote no on Amendment 4. And encourage them to send that out also. I believe that we have a short threshold of time, a window of opportunity to cancel this potentiality of destroying the morals, the ethics, and the values in America and here in the state of Florida with this murderable way of abortion legislation, or not legislation, but amendment on our Constitution. So, Derby, keep praying, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Jim, if you would go back and double back for a moment, because I believe this is one of the most important factors in this amendment, where it talks about notification versus consent. From a legal perspective, in your opinion, I know this is probably not in statute in the law in any fashion, but from your position in law, would there be recourse for a family if a minor has an abortion and they didn't give consent? Even though this amendment, if the amendment passes, doing some presumptions, if it passes, that's in there, and yet a parent then says, no, I didn't know anything about it. You've traversed my responsibilities as a parent.
Right.
What would your position be?
That's an excellent question. I think the way the courts are currently situated in the state of Florida, we've got a decent Supreme Court, and I think there could be civil ramifications if they did in fact not notice a parent of an abortion on their minor child. Mm-hmm. So again, this is where you have this huge problem with what does notification mean? I tried to call them and I got voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
Is that sufficient?
Another aspect of it, Jim, as we're thinking on that, if this becomes a constitutional right, and ladies and gentlemen, the only way it can become a constitutional right is if enough people vote yes on this amendment. We need to vote no. We need to prevent it from going into effect. But Jim, the question that I have, if it becomes a constitutional right, does that mean that if a woman goes to a physician and says, I want an abortion, and he says no, can he be prosecuted because it's her right that he's denied?
He cannot be forced to perform an abortion. So, she, in that case, would essentially just have to, she would just go to a different physician. But the problem with this amendment, and as you discussed and we discussed, it's 60% to, right over 60% to pass an amendment. If, God forbid, this deceptive amendment passes, we would have to then turn around to try to defeat. The only way to then defeat this would to be pass an amendment doing away with this amendment. And we would then have to have 60% to do away with this particular amendment. And the way things are polling right now, it's not going to be good. I mean, if this thing passes, we may be stuck with this thing for 50 years. Mm-hmm. That's how bad this is.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be education. Just like Derby was saying before, hey, this is a separate human being. with a separate heartbeat, separate DNA. It's not a woman's appendix, okay? It's a living human being created in God's image inside this woman's womb. And we need to protect the sanctity of life.
Absolutely.
We need to protect the sanctity of life.
It boils down to, as Christians, we need to recognize God's word and God's authority. God created life. God is the controller of life. And only God can take life. And it's not left up to man to make that decision when and how. Another question that I have, Jim, from a legal perspective, and my mind just churns with it. If this passes, this, i.e., the Constitutional Amendment 4, giving murder of that baby in the womb wide open freedom, if it is a constitutional right, a woman wants an abortion, she does not have the money, would her right cause the state to have to pay for that abortion?
More than likely, yes.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely. So you'll have Medicaid probably kicking in and paying for these abortions right now. You know, being involved with the Crisis Pregnancy Center, the Women's Help Center, we see where people have been donating money to pay for abortions. I mean, how sick is that? Mm-hmm. So if people don't have money, that's fine. We got people who will support it, you know, who'll pay to have your child murdered. But yes, in answer to your question, that's what it will be. You know, the one thing I, after I got saved and then God called me into this particular ministry, I never realized how much the Bible spoke in regards to abortion, which is really termed child sacrifice.
That's right.
And if you go back, and I started, as I got more involved in this, I began to see how there's nothing new under the sun. This is child sacrifice. It's been around for millennia.
That's right.
And but what really truly frightened me is what God says about what he will do to nations that shed innocent blood, mm-hmm. and that sacrifice their sons and daughters to Baal.
Right.
And it makes a chill go down my spine. It really does, because I truly believe that God will judge this nation. We've been given a window of opportunity when Roe versus Wade got overturned.
That's right.
And this is our moment. This is our moment as the body of Christ to shine and to get, you know, to inform people, to get them to understand what the Word of God says in regards to how precious children are in God's sight, mm-hmm. and how we need to protect the unborn and not participate in child sacrifice.
Jim, you touched on that. In Psalms 127, verse 3, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So what we're doing, what we're saying is, as a people, as a nation, as voters, we're saying that it's all right to commit murder, and God has given us the children as an heritage. One of the things, Jim, that I'm concerned about, as we see Planned Parenthood controlling, along with the LGBTQI+ agenda in our classrooms, teaching our boys and girls and grandkids in the classroom how to have sex. And it's been promulgated and pushed in that realm from the educational standpoint, which in turn produces more abortions, more pregnancies, which in turn produces more abortion, which produces more body parts to be sold. One of the articles in my research said that with a, what is it, a 6-month-old or an 8-month-old baby's heart will bring between $250,000 and $500,000 through Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, it's sickening, the selling of the body parts. It's interesting you brought that up. I've had the privilege of meeting some really giants in the pro-life industry. A lot of them were former abortionists and who got saved.
Amen.
And God changed their heart. And that's what's so amazing. There's forgiveness, there's redemption.
Amen.
At the cross. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Right? Dr. Levitino, I don't know if you're familiar with him, former abortionist. He got saved. Now he's a huge advocate, has testified in front of Congress. But what you just said reminded me of a lady. She's a huge giant within the pro-life ministry right now. But she wasn't always. Her name was Carol Everett. And she was involved in running a few abortion mills in Dallas. And they actually, this was their plan. It's absolutely evil. They were going to go in to the, middle schools under the guise of teaching sex education. Mm-hmm. They would ask the students to describe their genitalia, what their parents would call it. And they, you know, they come up with the silly names, tallywhack or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they would belittle their parents, saying, your parents are foolish. Okay, here's what it's all called. We're the experts. Trust us. The whole intent was to get the kids sexually active, mm-hmm. so that they would then get pregnant. It would generate abortions.
Yes.
The whole, and this was her own words, okay? And this is what her aim was, to get the children sexually active, to generate pregnancies, thus generate abortions, thus generate money. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. But now she's a, you know, God redeemed her. You know, she met the Lord at the cross, and Amen. She got saved, and now she's a huge, huge pro-life advocate.
Some of those coming out of that background make better advocates for
They understand pro-life. How evil.
They understand the wickedness of
the wickedness of it. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jim, one, how would you call it, an exit question that I want us to touch on again. We talk about the four major things is called viability, notification rather than consent, and the fact that it is so, how would you say, worded that it's totally deception. So the whole Amendment 4 is a deceptive methodology used to promote and to provide and to make legal by way of our Constitution the increased murder of babies in the womb. How do you respond to that and give our listeners one challenge before we close the broadcast today? What should the listeners come away? What is the takeaway from our conversation today?
I think the takeaway is that people need to understand the deceptions within the amendment itself, as we discussed, viability, patient's health, and then notification, those things. And if you understand that and share that with the people, and again, if you want to send me a friend request on Facebook, Jim Radloff, I'll be, you know, share the videos that I'm going to be generating and get the word out. And like you said before, tell your friends, tell your family members, tell your pastor.
Tell your pastor to speak up.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful that you tuned in today. And let me urge you once again to hear what we've said today. It's a warning, as Ezekiel 33, the watchman on the wall, warning of dangers ahead. Let me encourage you to pray for it, pray about it, and vote no on Amendment 4. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Folkston at 91.3.
When we hear about bullying, it's our tendency to focus on the bully and the victim. But in reality, we need to start focusing our attention on a third party. That's the bystander.